Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, and joining me today is Pastor Davis as we're going to finish up the program for today of Let's Face the Issues, talking about issues that face us today that are important and how we as Christians should respond to those issues. Pastor Davis, here's a very interesting article that again comes out of Family Research Council talking about how this past week we saw so many flights that were canceled by Southwest Airlines, and what actually happened and why. The article goes on to say, you are not free to move about the country. No one has been since the coronavirus restrictions began, but now major airlines are piling on travel challenges above and beyond the government mandates. Beginning Friday, that would be today, Southwest Airlines canceled over 1,800 flights, leaving thousands of passengers stranded around the country. For perspective, Southwest flies approximately 3,300 flights per day. They canceled 27% of their scheduled flights on Sunday alone. In a statement, the airline tried to blame the massive outage on weather. They state, on Friday evening, the airline ended the day with numerous cancellations, primarily created by weather and other external constraints. The bad weather was in Florida, according to another statement. The statement explained the cancellations left aircraft and crews out of pre-planned positions. In turn, the out-of-place aircraft and continued strain on our crew resources created additional cancellations, which cascaded. The article goes on to say, but many aren't buying Southwest's story. Too many details don't add up. For instance, it's curious that weather would affect only one airline so heavily. American, Spirit, United, and Delta combined, total of about 104 flights canceled over the same period. If minor weather cancellations generate outsized impacts, why don't hurricanes or blizzards routinely cripple national air travel? So that was what the airline tried to put out. Since then, they have agreed and conceded that what actually caused those shutdowns, Pastor Davis, was the pilots and airline crew members who called in massively, either calling in for a sick day or taking paid vacation. And it was as a protest to the Southwest Airlines saying that they must take the mandate, the experimental vaccine, that they must take it in order to keep their jobs. So they fought back. They stood up and they said, they showed in a show of force that they were not going to abide by taking an experimental vaccine, which has shown already that it has very serious side effects, including deaths. There have been over 15,000 recorded deaths, people who have died taking these experimental vaccines just since it started over a year ago. And Pastor Davis, just to kind of put that in perspective, that's more than all of the other vaccines combined over the past 20 years in deaths. And in just 1 year, we have that many. Pastor Davis, what do you think about these pilots and crew members who decided they're not going to take this experimental vaccine?
Well, Congressman Hill, I can certainly understand their concerns and their frustrations as well with their employers demanding them to do something that they are totally in disagreement with. I tell people everywhere I go, it's up to you. I mean, you have to make an informed decision. I wouldn't do anything without getting all the information about a situation first before I decide to make a decision, especially when it comes down to this vaccine. Now, as you said, when we look at the CDC guidelines, they look like they change every day and sometimes to me every hour. They tell you, okay, wear a mask, come back and the next time, and they tell you, you got to wear two masks. Then they turn around and tell you, if you're taking the vaccine, you don't have to wear a mask. And then they turn back around and say, even if you have taken the vaccine, you still have to wear a mask. Okay, well, what's the right way? I mean, what should I believe? There's a lot of confusion concerning this. But getting back to what you said about the employees there, we can see this widespread. I understand that it happened in Jacksonville right there a few months back. Dr. Youngblood and I covered it on one of the broadcasts that a local hospital in Jacksonville had a lot of the nurses and doctors and staff decide that they were going to walk away because they were demanding for them to take the vaccine in order for them to keep their jobs. Now, imagine the impact on the sick people that's in the hospital needing immediate care if they don't have anyone to take care of them. And likewise, with this travel industry, people are going to feel the effects of this. If all of these people walk away from the job and then no one's there to fly those planes and to take people, you know, about, you know, some people have to go on business trips, some travel for leisure. But whatever the case might be, if there's not a flight available to get you where you need to go, then, of course, you're going to face some difficulty there. But certainly you need to know and understand your constitutional rights. They don't have a right to demand that you do anything with an experimental vaccine. Now, going back to what you said, I could remember from the times of growing up, going to school, that we had to take vaccines for chickenpox, the measles, the mumps, diseases that we were familiar with in life. And of course, what they did through the vaccines, I'm supposing, helped us because, I mean, I think I can remember having the chickenpox, not the chickenpox, but the measles one time. And I think I might have had the mumps one time as a child. But I've never had that complication again or ever since. So with this vaccine to be so unproven, you really need to get the information, you know, on what's in this vaccine. What's the side effects? Because to me, what sends up the red flag, and I've not been, you know, on the scene when people actually took the vaccine, but this is what some of them told me after they went to take it and came back. They said they had to sign a waiver. In other words, you're taking full responsibility for what happens for a vaccine that they say are going to do you some good. So if you die, then you can't come back on them about that. For me, I mean, I disagree with that altogether. So this is the reason why I say make sure that you make an informed decision. Get the information on this vaccine before you decide to take it.
Absolutely, Pastor Davis. Well said. I agree with you 100%. You know, when we were taking the vaccines as children, as you mentioned, for measles, chickenpox, polio. Those are vaccines that had been tested and had gone through years of development and making sure that they were safe and effective. This vaccine for the COVID-19 was developed at what they call warp speed in less than a year. It did not go through the series of tests and trials that normally vaccines go through. And that is one reason why I, for one, and several other reasons, will not take the vaccine, neither myself nor anyone in my family. It should be an individual voluntary choice. It should not be demanded and mandated by the government or by employers on their employees. We champion the rights of the individual here in America, and it should be an individual right. You should be free to decide if you want to or not. So going back to this article, how the Southwest airline pilots did not show up for work, causing a cancellation of almost 30% of Southwest Airlines flights on one day, leaving thousands of people stranded. The Southwest Airlines Pilot Association, which represents about 10,000 of the pilots, has said that less than 50% of Southwest Airlines pilots have been vaccinated. And the Pilots Association, it's a union, said employees were calling in sick at three times the historic norm, but denied that pilots were coordinating an unofficial or official sick out. The airline also insisted that the operational challenges were not a result of Southwest employee demonstrations. But it's hard to believe that. By sheer coincidence, 32 out of 35 Southwest employees in Jacksonville didn't show up for work on Friday, or that almost every flight out of Orlando was canceled by a few brief showers on Friday afternoon. Though the pilots' union may not publicly acknowledge what they're doing, Chumley said on Washington's Watch, "We should be thankful for these pilots taking a strong stand for individual rights over government overreach and employee mandates." Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill and Pastor Davis sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues. If you would like to join in on the conversation with a question or comment, you can call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. I'm reading from an article written by Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council talking about how Southwest Airlines has decided that the pilots have decided that they are against this forced vaccination of this this experimental vaccination. The article goes on to say, "The fault lies with both the government and private corporations. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly insisted his hands were tied by President Biden's executive order requiring all federal contractors, which covers all the major airlines, to have a mandate vaccine in place by December 8th. But Governor Abbott recently banned private employers in Texas, where Southwest Airlines is headquartered, from instituting vaccine mandates. So the business at least has a choice in who to obey. The Biden administration's executive orders are simply providing cover for corporate leaders to enact the heavy-handed mandates they desire. Businesses doing the dirty work for the government instead of fighting. It is pro-fascist." I agree with that 100%, Pastor Davis. I traveled quite a bit, and here's something that I've recognized. I've flown on Southwest Airlines fairly recently, about 2-3 weeks ago. I was on the airline. You know, and they read this little statement that you must wear your mask over your nose and your mouth. And I do wear the mask. That's the only time I wear the mask, Pastor Davis, is when I'm flying. otherwise they won't let you get on the plane. So I put the mask on, but it is very uncomfortable for me because I'm unable to breathe after just a few minutes. So I will pull the mask down below my nose. On Southwest Airlines, they don't say anything. They see us below your nose, and they just walk on by in the aisle. When I'm on a Delta flight, the Nazis at Delta are frequently telling me, sir, pull your mask up over your nose. Pull your mask up over your nose. And it drives me crazy. So I was trying to figure out, why are these airlines like Delta and now Southwest and Southwest, United, American, why are they demanding their employees to get this experimental vaccine? Why are they so heavy-handed about this? And I've come to this conclusion, Pastor Davis, in that these airlines, when the lockdowns took place, they were losing a tremendous amount of business and therefore money. And they were bailed out by the government. They were given tens of millions of dollars so that they could stay afloat. And now that those dollars are still flowing, they're being told by the Biden administration, if you want to continue receiving these funds, then you demand that passengers fly with their mask on above their nose, even though it's been proven that the masks are ineffective and don't even work. But the Biden administration is doing this all for theater and are holding the airlines hostage, that if you want to continue receiving these bailouts or to not have to pay back the bailouts that you accepted, then you must demand that the your passengers wear masks and that your employees take the vaccine. That's my take on it. What's your take, Pastor Davis, on this whole situation?
Well, Congressman Hill, that's the danger of taking a government handout in the first beginning. Because once you do that, then they make you feel obligated to obey their every command. We need to be careful about these situations and not take this at all. I mean, because, again, they're going to step in and start demanding for you to do something or else you will get cut off. Now, I know of a lot of local businesses in the area where I live right now. There's a website that you could go to Google each and every person's name, every business name that's there that has taken a government handout, a bailout, in order to help their business. This PPP loan thing that they have out there. When you take that, then you subject yourself to this type of punishment from them. But here's the situation, for Congressman Hill. What's going to happen in the long run? They're going to find out that they're going to be prisoners of their own decisions because they have decided to take this from the government. Now you have to pay the piper. That's a dangerous position to put yourself in.
You're absolutely right. That's right. When they give you that money, there are strings attached to it. And we should not have government involved in our businesses. It's unconstitutional. They should not be involved. That is what you call socialism, when government is able to control the means of production, whether by giving money or not, and then dictating what that business has to do. Pastor Davis, let's change subjects just a little bit here. I'm looking at an article. It comes from the Mises Institute, and the title of this article is, "It's Wrong to Draft Women. It's Also Wrong to Draft Men." This was an article written by a Ryan McMakin, the article goes on to say, "As in many previous years, this year's National Defense Authorization Act is chock full of terrible legislation, slyly inserted for the purposes of concealing matters from the public. Both parties have been long guilty of this, with both groups using the National Defense Authorization Act to pass police state legislation increasing federal spying and law enforcement powers. All of the NDAA should be considered controversial, since so much of it is devoted to perpetuating the U.S.'s aggressive, wasteful, and counterproductive efforts at global hegemony. But the NDAA also often contains domestic innovations like this year's inclusion of provisions of granting military courts the authority to strip members of their Second Amendment rights without due process and without the service member being present in court to defend themselves. Now, Pastor Davis, I find that outrageous that here we have people in Congress who, instead of passing a National Defense Authorization Act, which should be solely for the defense of this nation, funding for the defense of this nation, they very secretly slide in all these other things which have nothing to do with that and which are harmful to our country. We should not have that going on, Pastor Davis. This is Mike Hill and Pastor Davis sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. If you would like to join the conversation, call in at 904-831-0917. Now, here's the article goes on to say, unfortunately, though the only provision that seems to be attracting a lot of attention is a so-called daughter draft, which expands mandatory selective service registration to women. In other words, the legislation expands what is de facto conscription, since it sets up the U.S. government to enact an active draft with ease and to track down all the young people who are to be forced into military service should the federal government decide to do so. Pastor Davis, what do you think about Congress? And it's already passed in the House. The House represents along party lines. All Democrats voted for it. All Republicans voted against it. It's now moving over to the Senate. What do you think about that provision in the National Defense Authorization Act, which says that women should now be drafted?
Well, Congressman Hill, I think that's a dangerous position to put our military forces into as far as the defense of this country is concerned, because it's going to cripple the military. Basically, if these military people decide to leave the military for any reason. And I understand, you know, there's not only this particular bill, and I hope and pray that it gets struck down. We don't need that. In fact, we don't need any more weakening done to our country, you know, as well. I mean, we have already suffered enough, you know, at the hands of this administration. You know, there are many other things that are coming down the pipe. But right now, when we look at what's being said, you know, according to this bill, that's a terrible blow to our military. I understand, you know, even during our years of coming up, they were reluctant to draft women into the military. But, you know, later on down the line, I'm glad that that changed because, you know, if they want to serve, you know, I feel like they have a right to serve. There's a place, there's something, you know, that they can do to help support the military. And basically almost everything that we have to do in life, you know, we need a woman there. So for them to come up, you know, with language like this, that's going to be detrimental, you know, to our military. Certainly I'm against that.
Yes, I agree. And Pastor Davis, we have a caller on the line. Jim, what is your question or comment, please?
Hello, Pastor Davis, Representative Hill. How are you?
Very good.
Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a small correction there, gentlemen. That's smallpox that you got vaccinated for at elementary school, not chickenpox.
Okay. Well, thank you for that correction, Jim. I appreciate that. And thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening to the show. We do appreciate that. Now, we were talking about how women, the Democrats want to draft women into our armed forces. And Pastor Davis, you made some very good points. and saying that we need women in the military. I agree. And right now, they can voluntarily join the military if they want to. There's no need for them to be drafted into the military, especially if it means going into combat situations. There are many other places in the military where women can honorably serve, and they do, and they have for many years. As you know, Pastor Davis, I'm a graduate of the Air Force Academy. I graduated in 1980, and when we entered the academy in 1976, we were the first class that women were allowed to attend service academies. Air Force Academy, West Point, Annapolis, Merchant Marine Academy, Coast Guard Academy, all of those. We were the first class that did that. And the women have served honorably. And I agree we need women in the military. We just don't need women who are drafted against their will into the military to go into combat situations. Instead, we need to have the strength of our young men who are fighting for this nation. Pastor Davis, we have just under 2 minutes left on the show. Why don't you wrap us up, please, with encouragement for our listeners. We're living in some dark times. God is still on the throne. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Pastor Davis, close us out with some encouraging words, please.
Amen. Well, again, you know, we thank God for you, Representative Hill, because of you being not only a representative, amen, that have served faithfully, but also as being a man of God. We need more just like you. And I would encourage, you know, everywhere, anybody that's listening to my voice right now, to try to, you know, make, as I said before, make an informed decision. Examine, you know, the people that are running for these offices and make sure that they stand for the right thing, but make sure most of all that they are a Christian and that they are going to do their job based upon the word of God. But through it all, we can still trust in God because God is in control. Now, let me leave this verse of scripture with you coming from Romans chapter 16, just verse number 26. But now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Amen. God wants us to obey him and to do it by faith and trust in him in all matters, no matter what, because he's still in control. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for listening, folks.
Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.